On International Peace Day, Noel Parent and Renu Nyogi entranced audiences with some of their wonderful stories about peace. Mr. Parent performed Julia's Smile, followed by Miss Nyogi's The Little Wave, with Mr. Parent again wrapping things up with the legend of the flute player.
My friend, a true smile comes when you find who you really are within yourself. So, thank you everyone for coming and joining us on Peace Day. Welcome. My name is Noel, and also we have with us Renu.
Hi.
She's over here getting ready, and we're here to tell some stories. So I'm going to start with one story, and then Renu will also share another story of hers that she's written. So we'll begin. So this story, it is named Julia's Smile. There once was a magical land called Ayalen, where everyone smiled all the time. They smiled while they worked. They smiled while they played. They smiled when it was sunny. They smiled when it rained. They even smiled while they were sleeping. Everyone in Ireland always had whatever they wished for, and more. When they wanted the sun, it would shine. And when they wanted to sled, the snow would start to fall. When they wanted to laugh, a clown would appear. And when they imagined a new home, it would build itself. When they thought of a special food, it would be made in a flash. And when they wished for a toy, it would appear before their eyes. The land of Ireland gave its people whatever they could imagine. So they smiled, and they smiled, and they smiled some more. Never was there a moment in Ireland when someone was not smiling. Even all the babies were born with great big smiles on their little faces. So, it was quite peculiar to the people of Ireland when, one day, a little baby named Julia was born with no smile at all. She did not cry, nor did she have a frown. She just didn't have a smile like everyone else. The smiling doctors did not quite understand this strange baby. They tried everything they could to make Julia smile. But for some strange reason, little Julia could not. Julia's smiling parents smiled, nonetheless, about their new baby Julia. But they too were confused. Where could Julia's smile be? They wondered. Day after day, month after month, year after year, Julia's parents did everything they could to make Julia smile. They played with her all day long. They sang silly songs that made everyone else laugh and dance. They gave her toys that made sounds and toys that sparkled. They gave her blue laughing puppies and pink bouncing kittens. And even a baby dragon with red glowing mittens. They let her paint everything she wanted without any rules and helped her ride all the zoo animals, even the mule. She was given nice gifts by all the island people and was made the first fair princess of all the land. Julia's father even carried her to the top of Mount Ayala, where she could see everything in Ayala's vast lands, in hopes that she would see something to make her smile. But Julia did not smile, not one little bit. One day, at the age of 7, Julia woke up, and her parents saw something they had never seen before. Julia was frowning. Nobody in Ireland had ever seen a frown before. This began to worry everyone even more. The next day, Julia's friend next door woke up, and she too now had a frown. Something was terribly wrong, thought the people of Ireland. Each day, more people even moms and dads started to find that they were frowning. Julia's frown seemed to be spreading around. As the people of Ireland worried more about Julia's frown, more people found themselves waking up without their own smiles. The town elders decided to call a meeting of all the people of Ireland. "What are we to do?" one smiling elder cried to another frowning elder. "How can we stop this?" "This is because Julia did not have a smile," said another. "It's her frown that is spreading all over the town. We must send her away. It's the only way." When Julia heard this, she frowned even more. She did not like seeing everyone frowning. She did not like everyone losing their smiles because of her. So Julia decided to leave Ireland and search for her missing smile all alone. Julia walked a long way, seeing many beautiful things. She walked over the Jabala Hills and through the Nalala Forest. She gazed at the moon above the crystal blue Sasula Lake and saw flying sunfish leaping up into the bright sky. She smelled fields of blossoming flowers in the Galuvala groves and played with baby bunnies in the great Bashula Knoll. But Julia still could not find her smile. After a while, Julia found herself underneath a giant oak tree. She climbed into the tree's strong, thick limbs. Julia wondered to herself why she could not smile. And the more she thought about why she couldn't smile, the more she felt like frowning. But just at that moment, a little owl flew near and perched beside Julia on the tree limb. "Why such a big frown?" asked the owl. Julia replied, "I am the only one in Ireland who has never smiled, and I do not know why. Do you know why I cannot smile?" The owl tilted its head and remained silent for a moment. He gazed into Julia's eyes deeply and then perked up his head. "My friend, a true smile comes when you find who you really are within yourself. It is true that everyone in Ireland smiles, but their smiles are not true. They smile because they think they have everything. They smile because they know nothing else. You do not have your smile because something deep inside will not be happy with everyone else's way of smiling. Something within you knows there is a smile all your own, a smile which is greater than all of Ireland. Your frown is this something deep inside you that wants to find your true smile." "But how do I find this true smile?" Julia asked eagerly. "I have been looking everywhere in Ireland and beyond, but I still have not found my smile." "Your true smile is inside you and nowhere else," replied the owl. "You must start looking where you have never looked before. Nobody else can find your smile for you." Then the owl became quiet and seemed to smile with his eyes. He ruffled his wings and flew from the tree into the great sky. Julia leapt down from the tree too and wandered a little way. After a while, she came upon a giant sunflower taller than she was, and she quietly gazed into the bright color of its beauty. In the flower, Julia seemed to notice a smile of its own. It was a smile of a sunflower, simply being a sunflower. And just then, Julia suddenly felt herself grow very still. She closed her little eyes and began to look inside of herself. She looked deep into the quietness of her own secret heart, and there she began to see a smile, a wonderful smile. And as she looked more and more closely, she could feel her smile, and it grew and grew and grew into a beautiful, great, big Julia smile. her smile felt as big as the universe. It was her very own smile, and it was also the smile of life. It was a smile as bright as the radiant sun, a smile that could awaken its joy all around. Julia looked into a small, clear pond nearby and saw in the reflection her new smiling face. She also saw the fish in the pond smiling back at her, and the water and lily pads seemed to smile with her too. Julia began to see that everything was one big smile. She was a smile. The sun was a smile. The trees were all smiles. And the mountains were huge smiles. The birds flew their smiles. And the snakes slithered theirs. The stars sparkled their smiles across space to the giant smile of the smiling earth. And though the people of Ireland might not have known it, even they were all one living smile. Julia ran with her new smiling joy back to Ireland, where all of Ireland now had big frowns. Her frown had spread to everyone, even the blue singing frogs. When Julia had left, the people became very sad. They lost their smiles and were frowning all the time. Just as the people of Ireland saw Julia and her radiant new smile, they felt something in them began to change. Their frowns began to slowly turn back to smiles again. Though this time, they felt something different. Something they didn't know before. It was as if their smiles were not just on their faces, but could be felt deep inside their hearts. In that moment, there, in the magical land of Ireland, a new magical smile was born, awakening one joy in everything and everyone. Julia's smile. The end.
And I wrote this story because I lived in America for a while. First I lived in Oroville, and then I moved to America. And my daughter was born there. And when she was little, she said to me, "The world is not made for little people." And I thought, no, it is made for little people. Mostly for little people. So I wrote this story because I felt like it's important for little people, our children, to know that they belong. They belong most. One night, when the moon was full, it shone upon the ocean. The ocean felt the moon tug at her, and she inhaled deeply, swelling up. Then she sighed, and when she did, a little wave rolled off her mighty body. The ocean mother looked fondly at the little wave, and gathering her into her watery arms, she said, "You are always a part of me, and you will always return to me. Remember that." The wave was carried this way and that by the winds. The next morning, the sun glittered all around her as she was ready and eager for the adventures the wind would take her on. A gentle breeze blew her slowly towards a sandy beach where some children were playing. The little wave went to play with them. She washed up on the shore, warming her belly on the sand. She felt all the little grains beneath her as she stretched on the beach. It felt delicious. The children played with her all afternoon, diving through her and riding on her back. The afternoon sun was going down, and it was time for everyone to go home. The children picked up their toys and waved goodbye to the little wave. She returned the greeting with a foamy splash and rolled back into the ocean. Now she found herself lapping at the edges of a small island. seagulls called and swooped through the air, busy with the nesting season, and seals barked from the rocks. The sky began to grow darker, and the wind blew stronger, and the wave grew bigger and bigger, and danced a wild dance, curling up and crashing down. Exactly. Some fishermen took one look at the fierce wave and turned their boats back to shore. "This is not the day to stay out. The waves are too strong for us," they said. Bit by bit, the storm calmed down, and the little wave, bobbing and dipping along, reached the coasts of a warm land. She could hear crows cawing amongst the green coconut trees, waving in the distance. In front lay a bright band of sand that shone in the hot sun. But something was happening to the little wave. She felt herself becoming lighter and lighter. "What's this?" said the little wave, alarmed as she slowly began to dissolve in the air. What is happening to me? She's getting hotter and hotter and hotter. What is happening to the little wave? Then she remembered her mother's words. "You're always a part of me, and you will always return to me." These words made her feel brave again. So she began enjoying feeling herself warm up and turn into vapor and swirl slowly up into the sky. Her body became a fluffy white cloud that sailed on the same familiar winds that had pushed her on so many adventures as a wave. The little cloud floated lazily along, looking at the giant ocean mother below her. Instead of fishes swimming around her, now birds flew with her. The little cloud swept over the warm land. The shiny beach and the coconut trees with the crows cawing. Now below her lay fields, small houses and towns with roads winding through them. The little cloud looked at all of this with great interest. And when the sun sank that evening, she stretched into a long, thin band that the sun's light turned gold, then pink, and finally purple. The little cloud was very proud of being so beautiful. The little cloud was very proud of being so beautiful, for she knew that she was making so many people happy that evening. That night, she hung there in the sky, staring at the stars as they went around, and she thought, "There's nothing better in the world than being a cloud in the sky." All through the night, clouds had gathered around her, and soon she was part of a large flock of clouds. The flock swept together into a huge, towering mass. Exactly. And then the lightning flashed inside of her. Another mighty cloud rushed past, and the thunder roared through her. My, now I can make sound and lights. This is wonderful," she said, surprised. By morning, the giant cloud had drifted over a forest. She felt herself getting heavier and heavier as she was being pulled down, down, down. And then suddenly she burst into a million raindrops. "This is the end," said the frightened little raindrop. And again, she remembered her mother's words. "You are always a part of me. You will always return to me." And then she saw rainbows gleaming in each of the drops as the sun struck her many, many drops. And the raindrops landed on the leaves and dripped slowly into the warm earth. She was welcomed by many plants as she ran down their stems and onto the soil. A lovely smell came from the earth as she dripped and dropped onto it. Soon the many little drops began to trickle together to form puddles that some thirsty animals drank from. The puddles overflowed and ran downhill, gathering speed as other rivulets joined in. Then, pouring herself into a rushing stream, she traveled through the forest, looking up at the tall trees. The little stream bubbled and foamed, going down waterfalls, moved slowly when it widened into large pools, and rushed when it was channeled through narrow rocks. Other streams joined her, and she swelled into a river that moved quickly forward. On and on she went, till the river slowed, entering a vast estuary, where birds and frogs waded and paddled in the tall grass and mud. And then one morning, quite by surprise, she found herself back in the ocean. "Mother, I'm back. I have been so many different things, and wave and clouds and thunder and raindrops, running water. I have seen so many different places, and now I have come back to you." The ocean mother scooped up her little wave and hugged her for a long time. "I know," she said. And that was the end.
The legend of the flute player. Now, what you can do, if it helps, is to close your eyes and use your imagination to picture whatever comes to you from the words. So, the legend of the flute player. A long time ago, in the valley of the great mountains, there was a small town where lived all the greatest musicians in the land. From anywhere in the valley, music could be heard day and night as all the musicians played their instruments so that they might be known as the best. In this town, there lived a young boy named Avayar, whose only wish was to play beautiful music for everyone. But Avayar did not have an instrument to play. He prayed and prayed with all his heart to have an instrument so that he might play his music for everyone. One day, while walking in the forest, he heard a sound coming from near a tree. He went to the tree and looked around. There upon the ground was a short stick with many holes in it. As the wind blew across the holes, the stick made a small, sweet sound. It gave Avayar an idea. He picked up the wooden stick and began to carve other holes into it with his knife. Then he ran back to the village. In the village, all the great musicians had gathered in the town square to compete and see who was the best. When Avayar arrived, he jumped upon the stage and began to play his new instrument quite proudly for everyone. The other musicians began to laugh. "But this is not music. It hurts the ears to listen to this boy," cried one man with a violin. "And what kind of horrible instrument is this you are playing?" said another man with a drum. "I have never seen this before." "I call it a flute," replied Avayar. "I made it myself." "Well, whatever you call it, it is not good for playing music," laughed a woman nearby. "You'll never play music with that thing. Better to throw it on our bonfire and listen to us play, little laddie." All the musicians laughed. For a moment, Avayar felt sad, but he knew that there was something special about his flute. He knew that one day he would play beautiful music for everyone. So he jumped off the stage and began to walk away. Then he turned and said to all the great musicians, "I will go into the mountains and stay there until I can play the most beautiful music ever heard." Then he walked into the dark forest and disappeared into the mountains. For 1 year, nobody in the village saw Avayar at all. They had forgotten about him. Until one night, finally, he appeared out of the forest and joined the musicians near the town square with his flute in his hands. "I have been in the mountains listening to all the birds and creatures of the forest and playing my flute. And this is the music that I have heard." Then Avayar began to play his flute. The music that he played was very nice, and everyone was surprised. "You play this flute of yours very well," said one man. "You have learned much while you were away. Please play us more so we may hear this new instrument." "No, I cannot," replied Avayar. "I have not yet discovered the most beautiful music, so I shall return to the mountains and continue to listen and practice." And so he turned and left, disappearing once again into the forest mountains. For 3 years, nobody saw Avayar. But from time to time, they wondered what had happened to him. Then one night, he appeared at the town square again with his flute in his hand. "I have lived in the mountains and listened to the waterfalls and the streams flowing down the mountainside. And this is the music I have heard." And with his flute, Avayar began to play. This time, the musicians were delighted even more to hear his flute. "Your music is coming along very well," said one woman. "You are good enough to play with us. Come and join our music." Avayar stood tall and replied, "No, I cannot stay. I still have not yet discovered the most beautiful music. I must return to the mountains and continue to listen and play." So he turned and left, disappearing once again into the mountains. Many years passed by, but nobody saw Avayar. They began to wonder if he would ever return. One night, after 10 long years, a young man appeared in the town square. In his hands was a flute. The villagers were surprised to see how much Avayar had grown. What music can you play now? Play for us," demanded one musician. Avayar stood before them and replied, "For many years I have listened to the wind blowing through the trees and the caves of the mountain, and this is the music I have heard." And with his flute, Avayar once again began to play. The musicians all sat still and were amazed at this new music coming from Avayar and his flute. "This music is truly wonderful," they all said to each other. "This is the most beautiful music we have ever heard. Please, please teach us how to play this music," they begged to Avayar. But Avayar refused. "No, I cannot. I have not yet discovered the most beautiful music. I must return to the mountains and continue to listen and play." "But what could be more beautiful than the music you have just played?" asked a bewildered musician. Yet Avayar just turned silently and left, disappearing once again into the mountains. 5 years went by, then 10 years, then 20, and still nobody in the village saw Avayar. So many years and decades went by until most of the older musicians and people who knew him had died, and the memories of Avayar had slowly faded into bedtime stories. But a few musicians continued to remember. Until one night, an old man with a long gray beard appeared at the town square, where all the musicians were gathering once again. The villagers began to wonder who this old man could be. But then one older musician noticed a strange object in the old man's hand. It was the flute. "Why, this is Avayar," cried out the musician, "the boy musician with his flute. After so long, he has returned." "But I thought he was dead," cried one woman. "I thought it was just an old story," laughed another musician. "Everyone be quiet," said the older musician. "Please, Avayar, share with us your music." Avayar stood upon the stage and with a soft, gentle voice, he spoke. "In the deepest cave of the highest mountain, I found a silence so pure and sweet. I listened to this great silence without playing my flute, and in it I heard the most beautiful music in the world. For 12 long years I listened to the music of the silence, until one day I picked up my flute and started to play. I played and played for a very long time, until my hair grew long and gray, and I realized I was an old man. Then, with today's new dawn, I awoke from my sleep, and the music of the silence whispered to me that I must play this music for you. And then Avayar began to play his flute. He began to play one long note, slowly and softly, until it became yet another note, and then another, until a vast melody of music seemed to float in the air everywhere. As the power of this music began to touch the people with its pure beauty, it entered their inner hearts and minds, and they began to feel themselves grow very silent. As the music grew within them, it began to open them each to an immense joy they had never felt before. They began to feel their own music, unique, awakening deep within themselves. When finally the music stopped, the villagers looked up to see that Avayar was no longer there. He had disappeared. The great musicians looked at each other with the new joy in their hearts, still singing. They no longer felt the need to be the best, but only to share their own music with each other. After that night, Avayar and his flute were never seen or heard from again. But some people say that if you are very quiet and listen very carefully when walking in the valley of the great mountains, you can hear a flute player still playing his music. The end. Thank you.
We at Auroville Radio hope you find your inner peace in the coming year. Thank you for listening.